All right, welcome to Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp. We're going to be talking about the Lions and the 49ers. This is the NFC Championship preview on the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm alone today, and I'm sick, so we're kind of battling two things. So we'll get through it. It'll be a nice podcast. There's a lot of things to get to, and we'll get to that next on the Detroit Lions News Podcast. If you're new, you can subscribe to it on Between the Whistles. So go subscribe right now. And we're just going to talk football, and you can give me your comments in the comments section. And at that point, we'll just have a little bit of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun during this episode because we're talking about a Detroit Lions team that is in the NFC Championship again, first time since the 1991 season. So there's a lot of things that we're doing in Detroit that are very, very critical. Now, like I said, if you have any comments, put them in the comment section. I'll read them as we go. Right now, I'm just doing some little cleanup. But, yeah, so just if you got any comments, put them in the comment section. We'll have a lot of fun. The one thing I can say, as we go into this game, I've seen a lot of things from, people from CBS and all that jazz and them talking about this game and the positional breakdown and all that. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into the stats. We're also going to get into what Pro Football Focus thinks on offense, defense, special teams. But obviously, if Lions are having a drone show Friday, January 26th. This has been moved to Saturday at 6:30, right above Ford Field, facing downtown Detroit. So it'd be a really cool thing to do if you're doing something Saturday night. It'd be very, very cool. If you haven't noticed, the Detroit Lions are obviously getting some publicity in a good way. It's award season for the Detroit Lions. Dan Campbell's a coach of the year finalist. We have two rookies up for the rookie of the year finalist, and we have an assistant coach up for the assistant coach of the year finalist. When we talk about the assistant coaches, when we talk about the guys that they've been crucial to the success of this team, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta, Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, is Ben Johnson going to get the job with Washington Commanders? Potentially. He probably will. And I would be shocked if he didn't. But moving forward, this is a team that has a lot of things to look forward to. I kind of wanted to put together this graphic. And, Brad Holmes was named Executive of the Year by the Pro Football Writers Association or whatever. Look at this young core that you have. I understand that this team is playing for something this week, but just look at this. The Lions have 9 players aged 23 or younger, and when you look at this list, what does it say? What does it say? This list tells you that you got some studs here. You got Penei Sewell, who's going to be he's one of the best tackles in the league, bar none. Aleem McNeil has open leaps and bounds. Sam LaPorta, Kirby Joseph, Aiden Hutchinson, Jack Campbell, Jameson Williams, Brian Branch, Jahmyr Gibbs. That sounds like all studs to me, man. Every one of those players, that sounds like studs to me. And I'm excited that Brad Holmes is getting his just due for Executive of the Year because he's thoroughly earned the Executive of the Year. You think about where they were 3 years ago at this time. They're rebuilding. There's a lot of players that were on that roster that aren't on the roster anymore. This is a young football team. And if you haven't noticed, it's a very young football team. And a lot of these guys are going to be here for a while. And it's very rewarding to me because as someone who's, covered the Lions for 10 years now with the Detroit Lions News podcast page, I've always wanted a general manager that can make the right picks, not just in the first round, not just in the second round, but all throughout the draft. And yes, you're going to miss some of those draft picks like Levi Onwuzurike. Broderick Martin has lived up to his billings, obviously. But all in all, Brad Holmes has done an excellent job at drafting the right players for this franchise, for Dan Campbell, for this coaching staff. And they've done a damn good job. Again, look at the list. 23 or younger, you have 9 players. And all these guys are studs. Aleem McNeil, stud. Sewell, stud. LaPorta, stud. Hutchinson, stud. Brian Branch, stud. Jahmyr Gibbs, stud. That's what good general managers do in the National Football League, and that you got a good general manager in Detroit. So this is a great time for us because, you know, we're just starting our window. This Detroit Lions team is just starting their window, and they're in the NFC Championship. You can't say enough. You literally can't say enough about that. You know, I know a lot of people are going to be up in arms if the Detroit Lions lose, but look, I think the Lions have a very, very good shot to win this game. I do. And I want to know what you think in the comments. So let me know in the comments. We'll go over it. But if you're on the podcast, we are on Apple and Spotify, so you can go back and listen to it in full conjunction. But this Detroit Lions team has a huge game Sunday. We all know what's going down. Obviously, the injury report, we're going to talk about that just right now. The injury report is simple. Jonah Jackson, he has no practice. He's not going to play this week. We know that for sure. Chase Lucas, he caught an illness just like me. He was no practice today. And it's kind of what you kind of expect around this time of the year. Frank Ragnow was no practice the last 2 days, but you know what? Frank Ragnow is going to play. He's going to tough it out. Khalif Raymond, no practice. Anzalone was limited. Laporta was limited. Josh Reynolds was limited. And James Houston was a full go in practice today. So that's exactly what you look at with this Detroit Lions team. There's some injuries on the front. You know, obviously with Jonah Jackson being hurt, that's going to hurt this Detroit Lions team on the offensive line. But all in all, it's going to do a pretty damn good job. So we're going to go through that. But let's get through the offensive stats right now. Obviously, you look at these two offenses, and there's not much that separates either one of them. I think the only thing that separates a little bit is third down percentage. I mean, it's 6 points difference, but that's not a ton. It's not a ton. You know, I look at these two offenses, I think this can be more of a shootout. I don't think this is going to be a defensive style game. I do think the under could be in play, but I think that there is a potential for a shootout. You look at these two offenses, they're really damn good. They're really good. Make the right plays. They have playmakers. If Debo is available for the 49ers, they're going to be a very, very tough offense to stop. You know, obviously you look at the Detroit Lions offense and you talk about the run game. You talk about the pass game. You know, Jared Goff's been excellent. We're going to get into that in a moment. But all in all, this is what it is. These two offenses are pretty similar to each other. And they're gonna put some points up on the board. And if they stayed at their average, which I would be shocked if they would go below average, they'll hit the over no matter what. And so that's what's going on. So that's, you have to think about it like that. And that's what the Detroit Lions have to do. So you have to go out with like that. And that's what's going to be huge. Now, as we look forward to the defense stats are the same. Obviously, Detroit's 7th, 20th in the NFL, 7th in passing yards. I mean, 7th total yards for the 49ers, 27th in passing yards, 14th in passing yards for the 49ers. There's a huge discrepancy here. And all in all, you're looking at this and you're going, oh, this is a good chance of being on there. And I think the Detroit Lions are a very good team. And I think this defense, you know, whatever anybody wants to say about this defense, I think this defense has been underrated by some sorts. Because when you look at this defense, I know they've played a lot of good wide receivers. I know they've played a lot of good players and they've made some great moves. But all in all, they're making the right place and they're keeping teams around 20 points. And I think that's been the success to this Detroit Lions team. They've been very, very good on defense in terms of not allowing points, but they'll allow a lot of yards, obviously with three, you know, passing yards. They're almost dead last in the league, but they're still coming on strong. And you look at both teams, they're not in the top 10 of passing yards, so they're gonna allow passing yards. Both these defenses, you look at these defenses, they stop the run really, really well. And I think when a team has rushed for over 100 yards, that's when San Francisco gets into trouble. Detroit hasn't allowed a 100-yard rusher all year long. You look at these guys that they've played. I haven't updated this graphic, but Chandler, Ty Chandler, 69 yards. Pollard, 49 yards. Chandler, again, 17 P. Ryan, 37. Foreman, 50. Kamara, 51. Dylan, 43. Herbert, 35. Eckler had 67. Jacobs had 61. Gus Edwards had 64. Rashad White had 26. Look, you go down the line. I mean, there's some great running backs there, and the Detroit Lions have held serve on the ground, and that's what you have to like about this team. Now, as we look towards this team, as we look towards this these two defenses, I want to go back and let's look at the 49ers in their past elimination games. You look at the NFC Championship game last year, 31-7, Philadelphia wins. The projected team total was 21.5. This is from Big Alfredo Sauce on Twitter. And on third down, they were 2-for-10. Their time of possession was under 25. And if you look at all their time of possessions here, nearly every one of them, they weren't leading the time of possession. I think time of possession is going to be huge in this game. I think third down is going to be huge in this game. I think that's what's going to have to happen. And you look at these projected team totals, and that's exactly what's got to happen. And this is huge for this team. Now, you know, we talked about this on the last one. You have three of the top rookies in championship games this weekend. Three. Think about that. So this is a very young Detroit team going to their first championship NFC championship game since 1991. For these rookies, it's the first time they've been in a championship type atmosphere like this. Obviously, as we look, they're the underdogs to win the Super Bowl and outright betting. They're plus 700. I do think the Detroit Lions are a little bit undervalued here, but I know that they're going against the favorite, so they're going to have a little bit of a difference there. So, all in all, we're going to get to some of your comments in the comment section. I'm going to go right here. Another stupid comment from a scammer. All right. Tiffany Johnson says, agree, they are just starting. That's exactly what's happening. You know, this team is just starting out their rebuild. They're 3 years in. They're doing a damn good job. They're playing really, really well. And they're doing the things that they need to do. And ultimately, no matter how you slice it, they're doing a great thing. You know, they're doing a great job staying at the course that they've been staying at. They're just doing what they have to do in terms of what they're going. Now, not a lot of comments coming in right now, but we'll go on. So obviously, when you look at this Detroit Lions team, one of the players that's going to be the biggest emphasis for you winning on Sunday is Amon-Ra St. Brown. And this season, including the playoffs, 134 catches, 1,700 yards, 11 touchdowns, a receiving grade of 91.3. He's doing a damn good job. And I'll tell you what, as a fifth-round pick, he's doing a phenomenal job. And that's all you could say about that guy. He's doing an awesome job, and I think this team is doing really well because of him. And look, I think this Detroit Lions team needs J-Mo to come play his game, because if J-Mo plays the way that he has played, they're going to be fine. You know, I look at this Detroit Lions team, and I think there's so much that they could do. I think there's so much that they have to do. And it's going to be fun to see how this game shakes out. I think the Detroit Lions have a really good shot to win this game. Obviously, if you want the PFF grades, we'll do that right now. On offense, the Detroit Lions are 87.7. They're behind San Francisco, and I think it's second to San Francisco, of 90.5 for the San Francisco 49ers. On defense, obviously, Detroit's 71.6. They're not in the red, but they are in the green. But the 49ers are significantly better, 89.9 on the PFF grade. Special teams, Detroit's better on special teams, 84.3, which is, I think, 10th in the league. I think I think the special teams for the 49ers is 26th in the league at 68.4. So right off the hop, you know, you look at this discrepancy. Obviously, the offenses are close together. The defenses aren't that close together. But special teams is a significant advantage for the Detroit Lions. And in the playoffs, you're going to need your special teams to come home. Your special teams is huge. You know, we talk about field position. We talk about kicking field goals. We talk about, you know, punt coverage, kick coverage. All those things matter at this point in the year. And when you look at the Detroit Lions, them being as good as they have been on special teams is absolutely crucial for this Detroit Lions team. So that's huge. So as we look at the offense, who do I give the offensive edge to? I give the quarterback edge to Detroit. And I'm going to tell you why. I think Brock Purdy has been decent. He has not been this great player. He has not been an overwhelmingly great player. But I think that Jared Goff has been a much better player at the quarterback position. You look at the running back position, I know the 49ers have Christian McCaffrey. I know they have Christian McCaffrey. But at the same time, I love the depth of the Detroit Lions rushing group more than I love the depth of the depth of the 49ers rushing group. And anyone that wants to come and say, oh, well, the 49ers are Christian McCaffrey and blah, blah, blah. If you really want to get technical, I think you have to look at it in totality. You can't just look at one player because it's not just one player at all times. I think the Detroit Lions rushing group has done a damn good job. I think, you know, with Gibbs and Montgomery, and that's special. What the 49ers have there with Christian McCaffrey, it's great. It truly is. But at the same time, I think Detroit has the depth that is the difference. Wide receiver, I consider it even. Because when you look at the wide receiver, this is including the tight ends, in my opinion. I think, you know, Brandon Ayuk is a great player. You know, he's great. If Debo Samuel plays, that's huge for the 49ers. But ultimately, I think the depth of the two skill positions with the wide receivers, I think it's kind of an even kind of series with them. Offensive line, I give more of an edge towards the Detroit Lions because I know that the Detroit Lions have, you know, when Frank Reich now plays, he's a better center. When, you know, Penei Sewell plays, we're better right tackle. Graham Glasgow has been damn good. I know Jordan Jackson's going to be missing. I know Taylor Decker has had some bumps along the line, but I still give the Detroit Lions the bump in the green over there. Defensive edge, including special teams, defensive line, I give the edge to the 49ers. I think you look at the 49ers' edge, their defensive line, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, they have a really good defensive line. And I like Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa and Aiden Hutchinson, they really mirror each other in terms of production. But I like the Eric Armstead over there, the defensive tackle for the 49ers. He does a damn good job. He does a damn good job as a defensive tackle, and he's doing a hell of a job. Linebacker, I don't think this is even close. I know that Jack Campbell is a hell of a linebacker. I know Alex Anzalone and Derek Barnes are doing a damn good job at linebacker, but there is no one better in the league than Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. Now, where I will say something about these two linebackers, I watched the 49ers versus Packers, and I watched a lot of leaky coverage from the tight end. And I think that if Sam Laporta can get loose, this could be Detroit's game. If Sam Laporta could do the same thing that the Packers tight ends did and a couple other tight ends have done to San Francisco, they're going to win. But ultimately, it's got to come down to that. Cornerback, I think that this is a huge discrepancy as well. I think Tre'Davious Ward's a hell of a good corner. I think that Lenore has played absolutely phenomenal for San Francisco. I do think you could pick on Ambry Thomas a little bit. I don't like saying that because he's a Detroit guy, but ultimately you have to like what this defense has, and they're good at the covering because their defensive line is so damn good. Special teams, I'm going to give Detroit the edge. Detroit's going to get the edge at special teams because when you look at the special teams, I look at the special teams and I go, this is a good Detroit Lions team on special teams. Now, Their kicker has struggled a lot. The punt coverage has struggled a little bit with San Francisco, but they've been doing a damn good job of that. So all in all, I think if you look over that, obviously Detroit has the offensive edge. You look at the defense, obviously San Francisco has the defensive edge. It's not something that we're not unaccustomed to. I think there's parts of this 49ers defense that you can take advantage of. Like I said, when I was watching some of the film of the Packers game, of the Eagles game, which the 49ers dismantled them. Also, when you watch the Bengals game, when you watch some of the losses that the 49ers have had, one of the things that is paramount in those losses is the tight ends that are leaking out. And I felt like when they took advantage of the lesser tight ends in the league, they did a damn good job. But ultimately, overall, they didn't do a good enough job of catching these, you know, protecting these tight ends. They weren't doing a good job of covering the tight ends. Dre Greenlaw, there was a couple plays in the Packer game where he just got cut out. He just got cut out. So if you are a fan of Sam LaPorta, this could be a big week for him. You know, we all know that Sam LaPorta is a hell of a tight end, but he could really make his mark here as a tight end for Detroit in this game, because I feel like there's open opportunity for both for both Sam LaPorta, and if Zach Ertz plays, he might be able to get a shot. So there's one part of it that we need to look at. It's Gibbs and this breakout. Now, Dan Orlovsky did a brilliant breakdown on X on NFL Live. And this is something that you really have to get into. They're rushing outside the tackles. So you look at the outside the tackles, NFL ranks this season, including the playoffs. Jahmyr Gibbs is fifth in yards per game and fourth in yards before contact per rush. The 49ers defense, 28th in the NFL, 29th in the NFL, tied for 24th in plus 10-yard rushes, and Jahmyr Gibbs is third, tied for third in that. If there's anything that you could take advantage of in this game, it's Jahmyr Gibbs running outside the tackles. And I watched that game against the Green Bay Packers, and they did it a lot. What they did was they had a motion to the other side. They ran to the opposite side, and they did a pretty damn good job of doing what they were doing. And I thought it was very brilliant what Matt LaFleur did. I'm pretty sure Ben Johnson looked at the film. He was like, this is a great kind of salutations to what we could do with Jahmyr Gibbs, because Jahmyr Gibbs is a better runner than Aaron Jones at his point in his career. And I just love the way Matt LaFleur really schemed up that game. And I think if you're Ben Johnson, you look at that, and I know people are going to say, well, the rain don't matter. It wasn't the rain that was a factor in San Francisco missing their tackle lanes. It was the other way around, where the Green Bay Packers were literally out scheming them. And they were lucky, because they were lucky. I will tell you this right now. The 49ers were really lucky that the Packers had their worst game in terms of being that. You know, that's what I look at when I look at this. And it's incredible to me how lucky the 49ers got in the game against the Green Bay Packers. Because if you look at that game overall, I felt like there was multiple chances for the Green Bay Packers to extend the lead. They had a field goal that they missed. They had a couple plays that they would like to take back. But that field goal miss was a huge part. And in this part of the season, the biggest thing that you could have is a good field goal kicker. And I feel like these two teams, the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers, I feel like it's a little bit shaky at times, but I think Jake Moody is going to be a hell of a player moving forward. But Michael Badgley is definitely shaky, even though he hit that 57-yarder to basically win the game for Detroit against LA. We have some comments. We'll go with James McAdams says, as tough as San Francisco is, the whole Super Bowl script logo thing, I still have a good feeling about this game. It's going to be a nail biter for sure, but I feel like Detroit has more reasons than any other team that out there to take the Lombardi back to their city. I don't disagree with you at all. Like it's this game really isn't. It's not an unconventional feat that the Detroit Lions can win this game. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not an unconventional feat that the Detroit Lions can win this game. What I'm worried about in this game is hemming in Christian McCaffrey. What I'm worried about in this game is making sure that Detroit doesn't get beat on their own accord. What I'm worried about is them not making mistakes out there. That's what I'm worried about. Because you can look at anything you want to look at. There are three things that are going to send you home in the playoffs: bad special teams, mistakes on defense with your line, your your gap alignments, and turnovers. That's what's going to really win, lose the game. Ryan on Facebook says, who will Aiden Hutchinson lined up against this week? How does that matchup look? Okay, so there's a couple of ways. Obviously, if I was the 49ers, I would line up Nick Bosa against Taylor Decker. It's an easy matchup advantage. But if Aaron Glenn does the same for Aiden Hutchinson, their right tackle, Colton McKivitz, 52 total pressures, fourth most allowed in the NFL, 9 sacks, that's the fourth most allowed in the NFL. His PFF pass block rate is 56.7. That's 67th out of 83 offensive tackles with 300-plus snaps. Pass blocking efficiency is 94.9, which isn't that great. That's 69 out of 83. And he allowed 2 sacks, 1 QB hit, and 6 quarterbacks hurry allowed versus Baltimore. That was via the Big Alfredo Sauce on Twitter. He's phenomenal with these stats, and I do like him as a follower. So you can definitely follow him. He's great on that. James McAdams says that, yeah, I definitely agree, but I have the faith. And look, I think we all have the faith that Detroit Lions can go in there and they can win the game. I do like the matchup of Hutch versus Colton McKivitz. I don't like the matchup of Nick Bosa against Taylor Decker. But ultimately, I think that, you know, Taylor Decker's been in this league for a while now. And the one thing you can say about Taylor Decker is he does a damn good job of making sure that things don't happen, that he doesn't lose the point of attack, and he's gonna grind it out, man. They're a gritty group out there. Here's the one stat that I will say is the most important in this game. It's probably the most important stat of this game. This is per Jeff Risden of the Detroit Lions Wire and also Detroit Lions podcast. Great podcast. They do a great job. Obviously, we compete against each other, but we love all of the, you know, the content creators for the Lions and everyone else. But it's since the beginning of 2022, the Lions defense is number one in the NFL in passer rating allowed in close and late game situations. Now, I assume late game situations and close and late game situations is like less than a touchdown, which is 47.8. Purdy in those exact situations, 10th worst quarterback in league. That's 75.5. Here's what you're going to have to do. When I look, I told you before, when I went to the offensive edge, I gave the offensive edge to the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. That's what I did. Why did I do that? Because in the fourth quarter, that is where you earn your money. This is Jared Goff in the fourth quarter since week 10, including the playoffs. He's first in every category. We go back to what we just said about the stat. Purdy knows the same exact situations. He's the 10th worst quarterback in quarterback rating in the NFL, 75.5. I know a lot of people, they gloss over that, and they don't think Jared Goff is a good quarterback. There's some people in the fan base that still think that, which is absolutely insane. But when I look at this team, and I look at this Detroit Lions team, I look at Jared Goff, and I look at how well he's been doing in the fourth quarter, and that's a huge advantage. You know, you can't say enough when a quarterback is good in the fourth quarter. You really can't say enough what it means in the fourth quarter to have a quarterback that will make the right reads, that won't make the wrong throw, that won't make the wrong throw at the wrong time, at the wrong, you know, at the wrong location. You know, Jared Goff does a damn good job of that. And when, if you're looking for, if there's one thing you could say, what are you looking for in a quarterback? I want my quarterback to be good in the fourth quarter. I don't know about you, but you could fly in the face of anybody else that, you know, oh, I want the power arm. Oh, I want this. The most important thing that you could have is a quarterback who's good in the fourth quarter, because you are going to win a lot of games if he's good in the fourth quarter. Just like you're going to be losing games because he's bad in the fourth quarter. That's what I think. Let's get to it. James McAdams on Facebook says, yeah, he's an animal in the fourth, absolutely an animal. And if the push comes to shove, we can definitely score multiple times with under 10 minutes left. I feel like everyone comes to life in the fourth too, especially with the picks. Now, I will say this. You cannot have a third quarter like you've been having the last couple weeks. You got to score in the third quarter. You got to score every quarter. You if you don't score in the third quarter, you can't allow the 49ers to score in the third quarter, or you have to keep it within a touchdown advantage. That's what you have to do. Darcy says he's a kitten in the third quarter. Bring on Hooker. I don't really think that's a Jared Goff thing. Offensively, as a group, they aren't good in the third quarter. That's just the way it is. Is it a Ben Johnson thing? I think so. We've been talking about it all the time. When I had Walt on the podcast last week, I told people the one thing I worry about with Ben Johnson that I'm not happy about with Ben Johnson is these third quarter woes. I feel like they come out unprepared. I feel like they come out too scripted. They stick to the script. And sometimes they're really playing against themselves. You know, they're not coming out and they're not establishing the run, or they're not coming out and making some key passes. But whatever it is, it's Ben Johnson's job to get them going down the field in the third quarter. For whatever it is, out of their 18 games that they played, in the first possession of the third quarter, 16 times they've came out and had a 3-and-out. You just can't do that, man. You have to come out and get some momentum. Now, if you were talking about what's the factor of why, when your offense doesn't score in the third quarter and they're having trouble moving the ball, that puts more stress on your defense. And that's not where you want to be. You know, this defense isn't that great. You know, they're not like Aaron Glenn said today, they're not the most talented. They're just a gritty group. And that's exactly what they are. They're a gritty group. But ultimately, you can't be putting them in the situations. And Ben Johnson, unlike Aaron Glenn, has the most talent on that side of the ball. James McAdams says, yes, or they're not adjusting when opponent adjusts. That's the thing I'm thinking, because when they come out in the third quarter, they're making plays. You know, it's very rare that they do that. And a lot of times what you see coming out of the third quarter is that the plays that the Lions had success with going into the second half, these teams key up on. And it feels like Ben Johnson just can't replicate what he's doing on that way. Darcy says, what happened if 49ers take the ball first? That worries me. Now, here's the thing. You always want to get the ball first. Obviously, you're going to get the chance to choose. Are you going to get the chance to get the ball first? You're going to pick heads or tails as the away team. If the 49ers do get the ball first, you have to make a stop on that. You cannot allow them to go down the field. And if you do allow them to go down the field, you got to score the next possession. That's just my philosophy. You can't go and you can't be chasing points. You got to make this thing. If they score first and they look like they had an easy time, it's going to be a shootout. That's the way if I was Ben Johnson and I'm watching the defense, and if the 49ers go down the field, they have an easy time going down the field. That's where you have to make the decision. You have to make the decision really quickly that we're not going to be playing a time possession game. We might be playing a time possession game, but we need to score some points. And I feel like if you go back over the last 4 or 5 years, every game that the 49ers have lost in the championship game, they've lost because they've lost the time of possession and they haven't had enough possessions because, you know, whatever, the other team takes that tie. And they're not good on third down. I think if you can get the 49ers on a third down, that could be a very, very suitable spot for the Detroit Lions. So that's what I look at with that, you know. And then look, there's a lot of things that you can look at. Like I know there's a lot of people that are tuning in right now, and they're thinking about a lot of things, but this is what I look at. So this is we already hit that one. Where is this interesting set? Oh, it's right here. So it's from Benjamin Solak on X. He says since December started week 13, defensive EPA per drive, the Lions are negative 0.11, 23rd in the league. 49ers are negative 0.22, that's 26th in the league. Defensive success rate, Lions are 60%. That's 15th in the league. The 49ers are 58.2. That's 22nd in the league. People nationally are not looking at the statistics and the metrics enough. And I think these two metrics really show that the 49ers are playing their worst defensive football right now. Detroit Lions are playing their best defensive football right now. And I think if you're going to be very, very keen on this team, one of the things you need to look at is the success rate on defense, which for both teams is near each other. And in EPA, they're both in the bottom half of the league. So there's a chance if Debo plays, which is a key, if he plays, I would hit the over. Now, if you want a little bit of betting advice, I would hit the over. I would. I think the over would hit because I think these two, I don't think a lot of people expect, including me, I really don't. I don't expect a shootout. But the way these two defenses have been playing, the way the metrics have been playing, I think it's a very good idea that this could be a shootout. You know, in my head, I'm thinking, no, there's no way it's going to be a shootout. And in the metrics, I'm thinking, okay, the metrics tell me that both these defenses, the success rate hasn't been that great. They've struggled in some key points. That's pretty much the key. I mean, like, you look at the success rate. Success rate is how you get off the field and all that stuff. And the Lions, their defensive EPA has gone up a little bit, but it's not great. Sorry, just taking a little bit of swig of the drink. But ultimately, I do think this Detroit Lions team has a very good shot to win. Most importantly, they just have to play their game. That's the most important part. Just play your game, and you're gonna have a great shot to win. I will be doing a YouTube video tomorrow, potentially Saturday as well. So stay tuned to that. If you're on the podcast, you can go to Between the Whistles. It depends on how I feel. I'm not feeling that great, obviously. Ken Fisher says, I see two head coaching positions are left. I wonder if any are two will be head coaches next season. I hope they stay put, of course, in Detroit. You know, it is interesting. And there's two coaches out there right now that are big name coaches that are still out there. I would think that you're going to keep one of them. I still think that, you know, Ben Johnson will be a head coach for the Commanders. That's just my opinion. But I think Aaron Glenn will be back. And I think that's great because Aaron Glenn has done a great job with this Detroit Lions defense in terms of they don't really have the talent that other teams have. But they're playing good football. You're in the NFC Championship. They're obviously doing a good enough job to be in the NFC Championship. We have seen player coaches, you know, Lions teams before where they had a bad defense and they didn't even get out of the first round. You know, you're in the NFC Championship game for a reason. There's a reason that you're in the NFC Championship game. It's not by happenstance, and you're not winning games 48-45 like that Seattle game that you played last year. Justin on Facebook says this. Justin Tornberg says, Lions defense hasn't given up 100 yards to any one running back this season. Can they keep that going Sunday against CMC? Talked about this earlier, Justin, and this is the thing, man. If the Detroit Lions want to win, they must do that. Because when I look at the stats and when the 49ers have the worst rushing games, they don't win at all. And if you kept them under 100 yards, that would be one of their worst rushing games the whole season. And as we look at this Detroit Lions team, you know, against these running backs, this hasn't been updated, but look at the running backs. They have not got 100 yards. These are some good running backs. You got Kenneth Walker, 43. Bijan Robinson, 33. Aaron Jones, who just ran all over the 49ers, 18. Rashad White, 26. You know, he had a good game against us last week, but that's beside the point. You know, Austin Eckler, an elite rusher, 67. Kamara, another elite rusher, 51. You know, that Tony Pollard, 49. That was his lowest of the season, too. Josh Jacobs, 61. I think the Detroit Lions have done a damn good job stopping the run. And when you look at these two teams defensively, both of them do a damn good job of stopping the run. You know, Detroit's the second, the 49ers are third. But there are times that you can run on the 49ers, and we've seen it last week with the way that they've done it. And I think that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be the X factor in this game because, as we said, if you just joined us, this is rushing outside the tackles, NFL ranks this season, including the playoffs. Jahmyr Gibbs, yards per game outside the tackles, is fifth in the league. Yards before contact per rush is fourth in the league. The 49ers defense is giving up 28th, 29th, and 24th in total the total 10-yard plus rushes. And Jahmyr Gibbs is tied for third in the NFL with 10 plus rushes. So when you look at that, there's an obvious chance of taking it to him, man. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a key to this game. And I also think another player who's going to be a huge key to this game, I think that his speed can be a real critical factor in this game, is Jameson Williams. I think that Jameson Williams, if he has a game that, you know, where you're excited, where, you know, get him in space, that could be huge. But that's got to be the thing. You have to just make plays. You have to do things that you're going to do. And that's what I look at with this game. Ken Fisher, that's a good point, but they've never played against a two-headed monster. I think the Lions will rush close to 100 yards, if not more, by one or two individuals. I will tell you this. When they allowed close to 125, when the team ran for over 125, they don't win football games. The 49ers don't win football games when they allow teams to rush for over 125 yards. No matter how it happens, they don't win. That's where all their losses have came from. So if you're looking for a magic number in terms of what's the magic number to get the rushing yards to win the game? That's 125. You hit 125, I think the Detroit Lions are going to win this game. I do. I think it's been very, very critical that this Detroit Lions team has the opportunity to make some get the run of the ball and make some things happen. All right. So overall, this has been this Detroit Lions team has a very good shot to win in San Francisco. You know, I don't think I'm understating it. I don't think I'm understating it when I say that the Detroit Lions have struggled at times, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I'm expecting the Detroit Lions to hold serve. You know, I'm expecting the Detroit Lions overall to hold serve in what they're doing. Overall, this defense has done a damn good job of making the necessary plays to win the game. Overall, they haven't done a bad job at defending the pass. I know they've given up yards, but they haven't given up touchdowns. And I think that if you – look, I'll give up yards as much as I want. If I'm not giving up points, it doesn't really matter. You can give up all the yards you want. If you don't give up the points, it doesn't matter. Because guess what? At the final score, it doesn't say how many yards you've given up and then subtract the points or add points to the game. At the end of the game, it's points. You can give up 700 yards and give up 17 points, and guess what's going to happen? You're winning. You're winning the game because most teams don't win scoring 17 points. And I have a lot of faith in this offense to get the run game going against the 49ers. Comments. Ken Fisher says, would it be considered a dirty play if we look to re-injure Debo, if he's playing with a shoulder, does that just benefits of knowing the weakness of your opponent? I'll tell you this right now. I think that if you – obviously, it's – no player is going to be like, yeah, I'm going to go try to intend to injure him. But, you know, I'm pretty sure 49ers are going to be looking at that, you know, right now it's hurt like that. I know that, you know, they're gonna look at Sam Laporta's knee and be like, we got to go after that. Yeah, that's just what you're going to do. It's a game. It's a dirty part of the game. Is it really dirty, though? Yeah, but you know that they're using it. I mean, that's why in hockey they use the whole upper body, lower body injuries so people don't know what to attack. It's just been a thing of, it's been a thing for years. So that's what it goes down to. James McAdams makes a good point on Facebook. He says, most importantly, we can't let the decision of the game go to a bad call or penalty. Exactly. You cannot allow the officials to be in it. And, I know Dan Campbell is not going to leave it up to the officials. I know, there's times where it's a close game and one call can dictate it. And that was the case in the Cowboy game. But ultimately, yeah, you have to play your game and don't let the officials dictate the game or a bad call or penalty to dictate the game. If you want a chance to win, you have the chance to win. Justin says Sutton will need to shine this game. Our secondary hasn't been real great all year. We will need it to take it on these receivers. I will say this. I think Sutton overall has done a damn good job with the players that he's had to cover the last couple weeks. I do. I know, think about the gauntlet that Sutton has gone through. Justin Jefferson twice, CeeDee Lamb, Puka Nacua, Mike Evans. Those are some elite wide receivers right there. No matter how you slice it, like he's been going against the ones. The Detroit Lions have been blitzing a lot. And when you look at the get, they're putting Sutton on an island and hoping that he covers those best wide receivers in the league. I know Sutton's been hampered by an injury as well, and I just look at it like this, man. Sutton has done a damn good job. I know he's had a pretty rough year, but I feel like he hasn't given up the big touchdown. He's done a damn good job on wide receivers that are big play wide receivers. And like I said, I can give up the yards all day long. One thing I do like about Sutton, and the stats bear it out, is he's a very good tackler. That's one of the things I really like about Cameron Sutton. Ken Fisher says the new answer, which sounds logical to me, brings me to the point: why do you have to announce the specified injury? Why not just say he's hurt? Because the NFL says that you have to announce what's injured. It's not like the NHL where they go, oh, upper body injury, lower body injury. In football, it's like, oh, you have to announce what it is, or else you can get fined. And if it's not on the injury report, you could lose your draft picks. You can get fined. Like, that's the way it goes. So that's why they specify where the injury is. So overall, I'll get into my final closing thoughts before we close out the podcast. And if you miss any part of it, it'll be available on Spotify and Apple as soon as we're done with this. It'll be uploaded there. So my thing about this is here. I think Detroit's going to have a good chance to win this game. I think that the only chance that they have of beating the 49ers is stopping the run. I think they have to stop the run. I think this is a quarterback in Brock Purdy who relies on the run to get his game going. If you can get your run game going and you're stopping their run, I like the chances of the Detroit Lions to win the game. I do. So overall, this Detroit Lions team has to play the way that they've been playing all year long. Yeah, you can give up a few big plays. That's fine. But overall, you got to stop them in the red zone. You got to stop the run, and you're going to do a damn good job. And if you're able to run on the 49ers for 125 yards, that's the magic number. That's where all their losses have came from. And I think the Detroit Lions had the better offensive line. I think the Detroit Lions offensive line is a good unit, and I think that they can put some pressure on the 49ers. And do I like the Detroit Lions in a position where they have put pressure on Brock Purdy to be all that he could be? Absolutely. I think that this is gonna come down to the running game. That's what I think it's gonna come down to, because I feel like both these quarterbacks, if they had the right rushers, it's gonna be tough to stop. But overall, I think the Detroit Lions did a damn good job of what they did, and they're gonna do some pretty good things. So overall, I think this Detroit Lions team has a very good shot. I think they're gonna win Sunday. I truly do. I know a lot of people don't share the same sentiment, but I think the Detroit Lions are going to win Sunday, and I think that it's going to be a very, very close game. It's going to be because Detroit Lions get the time of possession. Now, I'm on YouTube. We have a comment from, it seems like a 49er fan. No rain, no 3-week bye for the Niners. It hurt them against the Packers. Lions are possibly not going to have their center or left guard. That's huge. They won't have their left guard, but they will have their center. They're giving Frank Reich now days off. He don't need to practice until Friday. I'd be shocked if Frank Ragnow doesn't play. Actually, I will say this. I think Frank Ragnow is going to play no matter what. They're just giving days off. This has been the thing that's been happening all year long. But, like I said, I'll say it again. I think Detroit can win this football game. And ultimately, it's going to come down to if Detroit makes the right, if Detroit stops the run, if Detroit's able to run the ball, they're going to be in a good position to win this football game. And I like where they stand right there. So we'll have more on the Detroit Lions News podcast. The page, probably no videos. This has been brutal, brutal Facebook Live because not feeling that great. And if you're on the podcast, you could probably tell. But it's been this game will be great. So hopefully the Lions come up with a win. We're talking about a Super Bowl matchup next week in the 2-week lead up. But all in all, this has been a great year for the Detroit Lions team. You know, all in all, the Detroit Lions team, they have 9 players under the age of 23. They're set up for a while. They just are. They're set up for a while, and they're going to be a damn good team going forward. I think if you're a Detroit Lions fan, this is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. And hopefully the Detroit Lions go to San Francisco and they win the football game like they're capable of. I don't think this is some big mark where San Francisco is so much better. I do think San Francisco is a good team. I do think the Lions are a good team. You know, but the 49ers are farther along in their rebuild than the Detroit Lions. And that's how it got to go. So we have a good chance to win on Sunday. But it's going to come down to what the Detroit Lions do in terms of stopping the run, getting the run game going. And if they do that, and it's a close game in the third quarter, like I told you, since the beginning of 2022, the Lions defense is number one in the NFL in passer rating allowed, 47.8 in close and late game situations. Purdy, in those exact same situations, is the 10th worst quarterback rating at 75.5. That's per Jeff Risden. That's the key in this. That's the key in this. If it's a close game in the fourth quarter, this is where the Detroit Lions can really grind out this win. That's where they can grind it out. So thank you for watching. I'm your host, Joe Chapp. We'll be back next week no matter what happens, and we'll be recapping the season we'll be looking forward to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be fun. But if you're new to the channel, go to Between the Whistles Detroit on the YouTube page and subscribe there. Thank you for watching. I appreciate everyone. And if you're on the Apple and Spotify, thank you. And rate, review, subscribe. I appreciate it all. Thank you all. Have a good night. And Red Wings are on, so let's go Red Wings and let's go Lions.